are the sunshine of my life. That's why I'll always be around.
This is The Sounds of Healing. Interviews and music for you to reflect on, be rejuvenated by, heal, and possibly even put you on a path of reconciliation. Who knows what you just might walk away with? Again, we are continuing with our interviews with the Arts and Medicine Program team at Moffitt Cancer Center. We've got on board here Amanda, and we have Lloyd as well as Corbin. And we want to continue with our conversation about their program and what they have done. I'm Alvinette Downing, and I hope to put sunshine in your life and remind you of just how good it is to be alive. Brought to you by Radio St. Pete and the Al Downing Tampa Bay Jazz Association. As we continue with our talk, Amanda, you know, you mentioned in our last conversation how the program not only focuses on patients and well-being, but also their caregivers and the staff. So talk to us a little bit about how this program benefits not only the patients, but the staff and caregivers as well.
Absolutely. Everybody is welcome in our art studios, so anybody can come find us there. Sometimes the caregivers will work on art while their loved one is in treatment or after they have had surgery while they're recovering. They can drop in and spend some time there. Additionally, all of the artists in residence, whether visual art or musician, make bedside visits. So the caregiver and the patient can experience that together. If the patient is unable to leave the room, the musicians come and play at the bedside, and then the visual artists have an art cart, so we can bring the studio right to them and offer all the supplies to them in their room. For our staff, we are also available. Of course, everybody is very, very busy, but I think really we got highlighted a lot during the pandemic. Everybody was feeling burned out at that point, and our healthcare providers were looking for ways to help alleviate that and provide support and resilience to staff. So often now, especially, almost every week it seems that we get staff requests for workshops or for opportunities to work with them. So sometimes we'll have a musician come play after a staff meeting that they've had. Sometimes they'll take some time together to do some team bonding. They'll come to the art studio and work on a practice together. Sometimes it will be individual work, and sometimes it will be a community piece, like a painting that they can all work on together. And sometimes one of our favorite things to do is to have a visual artist and a musician go together so that people can work on the artwork and then have the music playing while they do that. So really a lot of opportunities to work with the staff lately, which we love, because then they can turn around and share what they have experienced with the patients and caregivers. They're our best advocates.
Fantastic. Now, if I want to find out a little bit more information, where can I go?
Sure. You can go to the Moffitt.org website and look for Arts and Medicine. We have a page all about the studio with more information there.
Okay. All right, audience. Did you hear that? Moffitt.org. Correct. At Arts and Medicine. Let's open this up. Corbin, as well as Lloyd and Amanda, how about our community outreach? Are there any initiatives to bring the benefits of this program to a larger community?
Throughout the years, I've had the opportunity to speak to various community groups. We get invitations quite often to talk about the program, to share, and it's always nice to be able to bring the bass and share music when I give a talk. I've also been invited to different several universities, both locally and around the country, to talk about the program, to share experiences. Just recently, got to give a presentation for the cancer registrars. It was very interesting. These people are at the almost opposite end of the spectrum of how we operate. They look at a patient's entire treatment history and do their best to provide detailed data from which researchers can assess the efficacy of treatment and identify trends toward improved outcomes in the future. And they feel very strongly that they're honoring each patient, and they have a sense of connection with them, even though they never meet them. So I got what they wanted during their conference. They wanted someone who actually gets to work with the patients directly and to know how that feels. So I got to share with them and talk with them and play music for them. And it was just a lovely opportunity to connect with people who all have the same goal in mind to better the patient experience, to move toward improved outcomes. And that's really what we're trying to do, but we're coming at it from two different directions. And it was just a wonderful meeting in the middle. Sorry, your question was...
just how other opportunities that you've had to reach the community.
Yeah. Just an example of that type of thing. Even though they're within the... they work within the Moffitt community, that same type of speaking and sharing can, you know, has happened a lot.
Sure, sure. I think that's wonderful. Can you share a memorable story that you were able to see a profound impact on a patient or a family?
Yeah, I would love to. Let me share a short one with you, and if we have time, I can share one that's a bit longer if you're interested.
Okay.
This one, so when I have a meaningful interaction with people, which is actually quite often, I don't always do this, but when something really touches me deeply, I'll take an extra few minutes after the visit and sit down and write about it. And I try to write it in as short and simple a way as possible. And I use the first person present tense. I want it to feel like, if someone's reading this or hearing it, I want it to feel like this is happening in the moment. This is a very just kind of indicative of the types of things that happen on a daily basis. I titled this Assume Nothing. The sign on the door says, patient cannot speak or write. I arrive in the doorway and we instantly recognize one another. He welcomes me with his right arm and smiles a crooked smile. I begin with music that is joyful and rhythmic. Soon he lifts his right arm and begins to swing it up through the air. He is creating the feeling and the rhythm of the music, his arm dancing through the air. He is conducting me in a way, and I begin to play along with him, inspired by his enthusiasm and joyful expression. For someone who cannot speak or write, this is more than ample communication that touches my heart. What did I learn? Assume nothing. We are capable of more than we think.
Wow.
That's just one of many moments that, and I, it often hits me at these times that I'm learning from these people, that I feel like oftentimes that I'm here for a reason. The reason being, this is an opportunity to learn from these patients. The man couldn't speak or write. But he shared his joy, his expression. He found a way by literally conducting me. Such a unique, creative and courageous, answer to his situation. And again, I don't know if that would have happened if someone just came in and started talking with him. The music created that.
Absolutely.
Created that opportunity.
There's no doubt in my mind that you have absolute purpose for walking into that patient's room and the response that was given. I do want you to share more.
Would you like to hear more?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So this is a very, to me, one of the most memorable. There are a number of these that have happened over the years, but one of the most memorable things that I think I experienced at Moffitt, and it's called Breathless. I hurry out the main door. I'm on my way out of the hospital. I turn my head to see the spouse of a patient I have played for. She's rushing home to prepare for a date night she has planned for their anniversary. She plans to decorate their room in the bone marrow transplant unit with tablecloth and candles to create the atmosphere of a night out at a cafe for herself and her husband on this special occasion. I see a light bulb shining above her head. She has an idea. Would I be willing to come to their room tonight and play for them while they celebrate this anniversary together? Later, I knock on the door and it opens onto a scene transformed. The room is in dim light and there are candles on a small round table, two chairs, tablecloth, dishes, and silverware. She's in a lovely black dress and her husband seems so surprised, happy, and proud. I begin to play and he begins to eat his beautiful steak cooked medium rare and enjoy the music and the ambiance. Afterwards, he tells me that he feels like a king or a sultan, and that he will never forget this experience. I will always remember these people, their love and appreciation for one another, and the image of this lively, lovely woman running home breathless to make it all come together for an exceptional date night in a most unlikely place. There's a bit of an epilogue to this. This man became a frequent visitor to the Arts and Medicine Studio. He took up a practice that's called Zentangle. Mm-hmm. He is a very detailed oriented person, I found out later. He's also quite the adventurer. He's lived on a sailboat, traveled. As far as I know, he's doing great, but he's off somewhere. We've lost track of him finally, but hopefully he'll get in touch sometime. But what he did was he became so enthusiastic about the program and this experience and the Zentangle and everything that he joined. This wasn't the reason he joined, but he joined something called the Patient Advisory Council. Did I get that right?
Patient and Family Advisory Council.
Patient and Family Advisory Council. And this is a thing that, an amazing thing that Moffitt has, where patients and families who've been through treatment are called upon to share their, not only their experience, but their expertise in particular areas. This man happened to have design and engineering experience. And he advocated insistently for an arts and medicine studio in the new, what was then the new McKinley outpatient campus. There were no plans for that studio. We only had the one studio at Magnolia campus. And he was so adamant about the fact that there needed to be an arts and medicine studio there that he convinced them about a week before the final blueprints were due and they were going to start doing this, building this place. Or they had already started building it, but this was the last chance to get this studio happening. He came to the studio, to our arts and medicine studio, and I happened to be there. And he said, Lloyd, this is what happened. We need to know exactly what you need, and we need it by Friday. What do you need? Do you need a sink? Do you need this? Do you need that? I was flabbergasted. I immediately got in touch with my then coordinator, Cheryl Bellinger, and I told her what happened. And she actually kind of turned white. It looked like she was under a lot of, like, whoa, this is stressful. But she came through. She consulted with the artists. They figured out what they needed for the studio, and the studio got built.
Wow.
And it's been there ever since. And it would never have happened without this man and these types of special interactions that happen when music creates a bridge between hearts.
I love the words that you said earlier in our previous episode, bridging between a person and you, the music making that bridge. What I see in my mind is someone holding someone else's hand and walking them somewhere with them, you're becoming one with them. And it just feels like that's exactly what music has done. And just to hear that story, both of those stories, tells me the impact is without value. I mean, you just don't know how far it can go.
Exactly.
When you do that. And that is so priceless and Unpredictable.
I have patients coming up to me in the hallway. There's a special place I like to play in the hospital in a certain conjunction of two hallways. It's near the chapel at Moffitt. And I have regularly people coming up to me in that hallway and saying, you probably don't remember me, but you played for me or my husband or my 5 years ago, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, and we still talk about it. We have video. We watch it occasionally. We remember this. It made a huge difference. We just want you to know that. Wow. The echoes, the ripple effect of this is, it's powerful. People somehow, this, as we said before, music touching all the different parts of the brain and lighting up and feeling it in the body. It's a kind of a holistic experience that stays with them for a very long time. Yeah. It's not just the moments.
Absolutely. There's proof in the pudding, there's evidence, speaking, which leads me to one of the last questions that I have for all of you. What advice would you have to give other institutions or individuals interested in starting similar programs? And not even thinking about an institution like a hospital, but what about nursing homes or assisted living areas? What kind of advice might you give them when they hear this and they go, whoa, you know, what do you think?
Yeah, there's a number of ways that you can sort of start to brainstorm when you're coming up with a way to tackle and implement this into your own place. Obviously, coming up with a list of goals, you know, how, what do you want your program to look like, or, you know, are patients, are people playing for patients at the bedside, or is it just in public spaces? If you are going to have folks playing at the bedside, you should consider having trained musicians and or artists, you know, because that is what Moffitt has done, and that is one of the reasons that the outcome is so positive, is because we have training, you know, specifically in doing what it is that we're doing. It's not happening by accident. Creating as an attractive of a position for those who are going to be hired as possible, so benefits if possible, you know, retirement, healthcare, all that good stuff, you know, because it's really difficult to swing a less than part-time position that doesn't give you any benefits, and you have to do that in addition to multiple other things. But if that's how it has to start, that's how it has to start. You know, it starts somewhere. But having the ultimate goal of, you know, making it a, you know, full-time benefit, you know, making it as attractive for those coming and retaining that talent to be able to serve your patients, your staff, your visitors.
I would add to that that just to echo really what Corbin said just a minute ago, is the whole idea of the Music for Healing and Transition program, the program that we both graduated from, was to elevate this work to a professional level, to say it's important to be trained. It's important to understand how to interact in a hospital environment, how to choose repertoire, how to meet the patient where they are, how to understand enough about physiological signs and so on to be sensitive to what's going on in the room, to be sensitive to a person's breathing, their what's going on with them, both physically, mentally, emotionally, to learn these powers of observation. All of this, the program is vital, in my opinion. The one piece of advice I would give to any burgeoning program or a program that's trying to begin is to take this seriously. Hire trained music practitioners. They don't have to be music therapists, and there is a big difference between us and music therapists. Music therapists are clinically trained to assess patients and create treatment plans, and they do much more involved activities with patients. They have prescribed outcomes that they're trying. We don't have prescribed outcomes. We just try to offer the music in the most effective way to create that bridge that we talked about, and to open the person to the possibility of healing. When I see people relax, see their breathing change, see their heart rate slow down, see their blood oxygenation improve, see their whole body language change, then I know that we're creating an environment for healing. We're not doing the healing or the curing, but we're creating that environment. Without the training, I honestly can say that even after all this time, I wouldn't be doing the quality job that I am doing. That would be my biggest advice to new programs: hire trained music practitioners.
Excellent.
And the same with the artists, the trained expressive artists that are trained in the same way.
Amanda, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I just want to offer encouragement to everybody who wants to get started or is just getting started. We have an incredible team of doctors and researchers, and they can certainly help prolong life. But I think we should also ask the question, what helps sustain life? What is it that inspires us and gives us hope? What brings meaning to our lives and enhances the quality of our lives and not just the length of it? I really do think this is an essential part of care. It's emotional, it's mental, it's spiritual, and it does all affect the physical aspects of a person's health. And we get to see that on a daily basis.
Excellent. We will be listening to Lloyd Goldstein and Corbin Smith with a musical presentation. Not a performance, but what they would typically provide for their patients. And so you look forward to listening to that. But I want to close this out today with the key principles of arts and medicine. And this is taken right from their website and their pamphlet. And there are four, and I love each one of them. Number one, there is an artist in each one of us. Two, it is about process rather than product. Three, you cannot fail. And four, it is not interpretive. Those four principles are probably the most liberating and freeing principles that I've heard when it comes to listening to music and listening to your body in a holistic way to heal. So kudos, so much kudos to Moffitt Cancer Center for opening their doors to such a wonderful program. I am hoping that our listeners will take heed and listen to what the sounds of healing can really be provided for within what can be a daunting journey going to a cancer center or any hospitalization. And just to know that there is and there are people that are more than willing to use their talents and abilities and skills to help the healing process. So you aren't alone in this process. So thank you so much, Amanda. Thank you so much, Corbin. Thank you so much, Lloyd, for all that you do and the patients that you have blessed immensely. And thank you for blessing our audience for being a part of the Sounds of Healing. This has been the Sounds of Healing, and I am Alvinette Downing, hoping that our time together has left you with blessings and healing for your souls.